beginning in verse number 20 and finish the chapter there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. When you find that in your copy of God's Word, please stand out of respect of God's Word, and we'll invite you to read along with us if you'd like to, or follow along in your copy of God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse number 20. Ready? For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. All right, now, Paul is finishing up a part of a letter to the Corinthian people, and he wants them to know a few things. But basically, he wants them to feel that everything's going to be okay. He is imprisoned. Well, if the pastor of the church that started your church in your hometown was taken as prisoner, you might wonder if they were going to come and arrest you for your faith in Christ. That's what was going on here. So there was some unrest there, right? Okay, so Paul wanted to say, I'm not going to come to you right now because it might be dangerous for you. It's better for you if I stayed away for now. But in the meantime, there is somebody who has established you in your faith, and he says, I want you to continue to stand therein. That somebody who has established your faith, who lives in you, is the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, when you got the Holy Spirit, you don't need me. When I have the Holy Spirit, I don't have to have other people. Now, it's great to have other people, and God has given the church to edify us as believers. But wait a minute. When nobody else is around and that loneliness starts to take over you, or when fear comes into you and you wonder if you're going to come out unscathed from this situation you're in, you have the same Holy Spirit that these Christians had. So we're supposed to stand in that same hope and faith. So Paul has this, hey, I just gave you the whole message. We might as well just pray and go home and eat some more leftovers. No, we better break it down just a little bit more. Maybe that'll help us individually. I know that I need it. So the affirming ministry of the Holy Spirit, what a wonderful thing. And I want you to think about that, and may God teach us His word today and affirm in us that the power of God dwells with us. Let's pray together. Our Father, you've done a wonderful thing in our lives through salvation. How could we ever think that we want or deserve anything more? The truth of the matter is, there isn't anything higher than to be a child of God. We have all the rights and privileges thereof. We are priests and kings with God. But Father, there's so many today who don't understand it. They don't realize it. Maybe they don't understand what they have, and therefore they haven't experienced much of it. I pray that the established work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross through His resurrection and His ascension will be given to us in understanding. Holy Spirit of God, please make known, illuminate Thy truth to us today. May You be glorified as we have the truth of God. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, I'm hearing a little ring in my microphone. I don't know if you can fix that, Jim. If you can't, don't worry about it. I guess I'd rather ring than not be heard in that regard. But if that hurts your ears or something, I apologize for that. All right, so we learned that one of the ministries that the Holy Spirit has is the ministry of conviction. Can Christians do whatever they want to do and just feel good about it? No. In fact, we're commanded not to grieve the Holy Spirit, and that verse comes right after a whole list of fleshly sins that while we commit, if we were to lie and commit fornication and idolatry, all those things that were listed in that those same previous verses, the Bible says, and grieve not the Spirit of God. Grieve not. the Holy Spirit. Don't sorrow the Holy Spirit in the fact that you're drawing in the opposite direction away from Christ. Draw to Christ, and he says you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. All right, so when I want to think ill of somebody because they didn't treat me right, they didn't give me a present, they never said howdy to me or something, the Holy Spirit says, stop thinking about yourself. That's not what Jesus did. And I start, okay, all right, Holy Spirit, I'll get over that, maybe. And if you do, then you have some peace there. If you don't, you continue to feel that conviction. And sometimes it gets stronger, and sometimes even stronger. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, we know what that conviction is. That's the ministry the Holy Spirit has. Every Christian has it. The Bible says, if you do not have that conviction, then you are not his. God's sheep know his voice, and they hear him. In other words, when the Spirit speaks, the Christian says, okay, God, I'm hearing you. I might not understand, and sometimes we don't agree, and sometimes we even try to do like our those in our lives who are in authority, our parents maybe not as us or older, but authorities, and we say, talk to the hand. We don't want to hear it, but the Holy Spirit still speaks. He speaks expressly. Now, Paul said there's something more so than just the conviction. There's just, okay, so the Bible gives us the Ten Commandments. Here's what we said about them. The thou shalt nots, all right? The glorious thing about the Ten Commandments, as Jesus repeated them, wasn't about what we could not do as a Christian. It's about what, if we would put God first, we'd be able to do. So if I love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, body, and strength, then I will show that love to other people because the love of God will be in me. We love him because he first loved us, and we show our love to him through our obedience. So what happens when we take the thou shalt and turn them upside down? Thou shalt not. We get to the thou shalt. Instead of thou shalt not have any other gods before me, how about thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and put him first. Thou shalt not steal. What about thou shalt give? That'd be the opposite of taking away. We would give, right? So the Holy Spirit does the same thing. He's not in us. And every loving parent is not there just to tell the kids no. We want to be able to tell the kids yes. We want to affirm in them that we care about their needs. Does God want to supply our needs? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, absolutely. Does God want you to feel good about your relationship to him? Absolutely. He said, come unto me and I will carry your burden. Come unto me and forbid not the children to come unto me. And he wants you to come to him. Sin pushes us away and we feel guilt and we feel all of that. And sometimes that drives us away from God. But God is saying, I'm the father, like the prodigal son, standing there with my arms open saying, come home, ye are weary, come home. God is always trying to draw you closer. Well, who is that doing that? It's the Holy Spirit. He is saying yes more than he's saying no. God is trying to demonstrate his approval of your life in him more than his disapproval. God is a good father all the time. And the Holy Spirit, his ministry, is affirming the good, wholesome, wonderful things that God is doing in your life. And the more sensitive you are to them, the more you're walking in the Spirit. Of all the wonderful gifts our Savior has given all of us, the gift that he's given us at salvation is the greatest gift of all. And that will be, starting next week, what we'll be preaching about, the gift of Jesus. It will be the season to preach and teach that. But we have that gift already. The knowledge that we have God living in us is a transformational truth. The Holy Spirit who leads us, who guides us, who comforts us. Yes, he reproves us to get us back on track. But the majority of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a plus, trying to let you know how much God loves you. The proof that we are the children of God is the Holy Spirit in us. God has anointed each believer with the Spirit and established us in Christ. God further makes this pledge. Our text says that he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. He put his stamp of approval until we wake in his likeness in heaven. That's worth shouting about. The affirming security we gain from knowing we are the children of God is second to none, and we preached about that, the security of the Holy Spirit, how that we're sealed as children of God, redeemed of the Lord. So what a blessed thing we have in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this verse. In 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on each of us." What manner of love that God has bestowed or gifted to each of us that we should be called the children of God. Then he goes on to say, "And everyone that has this hope in himself purifies himself." So in other words, the child of God who knows who his Father is, who knows who has given him eternal life, is purified. He doesn't want to go into the world. He doesn't want to defile himself, dirty himself. He doesn't want to shame his parents. The child who is secure by the Holy Spirit in God is living in that joy. They're enjoying dad's relationship. They are enjoying the love of the Father. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever said this? Have you ever said, "I just don't feel right about this decision"? You ever had that feeling where you didn't feel right about a decision you were getting ready to make? Anybody? Now I'm going to ask you the hard question. Did you listen to that feeling? Sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. The times that we don't, do we regret it? The Holy Spirit, it was trying to nudge, work in you, to lead you to the truth, to making a wise decision. And boy, have I ignored or put off or thought I knew a better way, and I've always regretted it. You've ever felt something? Have you ever said this? "I just don't have peace about that decision, therefore I'm not going to make it." Isn't it? Those are the ones you don't regret. "I wanted to do this. I wanted to buy this. I wanted to say this, but I didn't have peace about it. So therefore, I didn't do it." And boy, we go, "Boy, I'm glad I didn't." That's the Holy Spirit. So he's working in your life and in my life. This Holy Spirit gives us peace. He secures our hearts and minds and affirms us. Now, the Apostle Paul taught in Romans 8, and we've spent some time in there with our study of the Holy Spirit. And he said, "I want you to look at where you were before you met Christ." Before you knew Christ, you were in bondage to what? To fear. I remember that. I remember being 10 years old, going to bed thinking, "My house is going to burn down, I'm going to die and go to hell, and that's it's going to be over." I remember having that. That's what drove me to seeking out salvation. I had a fear that my life was going to end in tragedy and I was going to go to hell. All right? Many people have fears, but before you were saved, you gave into those fears. You did not have what you have now in the fact that the Holy Spirit leading you into truth. Now, you had a conscience, and like Jiminy Cricket, you were taught to let the Spirit be your guide, right? That conscience be your guide. Well, okay, fine, but when you get saved, you have more than just a conscience. You have God leading you. Before you were saved, you were in bondage. After salvation, you have that. Paul stated in Romans 8, verse 15, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And then he says this, "Now the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit." So the Holy Spirit affirms our spirit that I'm a child of God. And just like my mama used to say to us kids before we got out of the car to go into the store, "Now remember whose children you are." She was giving us a warning not to act like the neighbor's kid, not act like somebody else. So we have the Holy Spirit who tells us who we are, who affirms in us that our Father has made us his children, and we have this wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit that we are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit affirms in our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, to ignore that is to quench the Holy Spirit, to pour fire on it, all right? To put the fire out, to say, well, no, God must not have loved me too much. I feel guilty for my sin. And we put all kinds of excuses. You know who does that, right? You know Satan is that accuser. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's a liar, all right? That's his ministry. So the Holy Spirit has his ministry of affirming that we are the child children of God. And the spirit of the devil, listen, the evil spirit tells us, lies to us, tries to show us that we are not the children of God. The Bible says, be careful which spirits you entertain. The Holy Spirit is teaching you the truth. Satan is a liar. The Holy Spirit transforms us to be like Christ. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, the Bible says, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is doing this working. All right. Now, if you're struggling in your Christianity today, struggling to believe if God really did forgive all your sins, you know what the Bible says, he cast them out as far as the east is from the west and buried in the depths of the sea and remembers them no more. Yeah, but you don't feel that. You don't feel like he's done that for you. Listen to the rest of this message today, because the Holy Spirit wants to affirm in you the work of Jesus Christ. So let's get into this. The Bible says that God speaks, and when he does, his yes means yes, and his no means no. That's something I learned about my dad. Usually when he said no, he meant it. Usually when he said yes, he meant it. And you just really had a hard time changing my dad's mind if he was set to do it. The truth of the matter is, when God says yes, he means it. And when God says no, he means it. But believe it or not, if you read your Bible, God says yes a whole lot more than he says no. He's a good, good father. He wants all the good things for you. He wants them, but you have to be willing to forsake all and follow him. So here's how we do it. Number one, we are affirmed in the Holy Spirit's ministry with Christ. With Christ, all things are possible. So let's just change that. Without Christ, impossible. With Christ, all things are possible. Without Christ, nothing is possible. So what God has done by giving us the Holy Spirit is open up the door of possibilities. He has affirmed in us that God, who is the all-powerful God, loves us enough to unite us with his Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are the chosen people of God, the sheep of his pasture, and he feeds us and clothes us and helps us, and he has this wonderful ministry, but sometimes you don't feel it because you're not united with or linked with, or you've grieved the Holy Spirit, and you need to accept this. What the Holy Spirit has done, he has affirmed in our spirit that we belong to Jesus Christ. Here's what the word says. In the King James Bible, it says he established us. What a great word. We're established in our faith. We're not weak in our faith. We're not babies in Christ only. As we grow and mature, we are established. In other words, we've got our feet firmly planted in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit reminds us continually that if Jesus Christ did not forgive all your sins, he'd have to go back to the cross and do it all over again. There are many people who believe that in order to get saved, you have to keep certain ordinances, that you have to dress a certain way, that you have to go through certain rites or ceremonies or ritualisms. The book of Colossians says that all of those holy days, all of those events were nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. In other words, none of them mean anything compared to what Christ did when he stretched out his arms, allowed himself to be nailed. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags, but the blood of Jesus Christ forgives all of our sins. What a wonderful thing it is to be affirmed with Christ, established in Christ, his leading, his guiding, his comforting, his conviction, his liberty, and his security comes from the Comforter. Now, Jesus said this when the disciples watched him ascend to heaven, he said, listen, don't be weeping for me. If I didn't go away, I could not come back again. Bless you. I'm going away so that the Holy Spirit can come, and I will give you another comforter who will guide you and help you and lead you and teach you. He's doing everything that Christ is doing. No wonder somebody who hasn't yet received Christ did not have the Holy Spirit. They didn't accept the first comforter, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Therefore, they are not the children of God. And they are not the children of God, not because they're not good enough, but because they do not have the Spirit of God in them. The Bible says, then are they bastards and not sons. But those who have received Jesus Christ have received the Lord's Spirit. 1 John 5:9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of the Holy Spirit is greater. Some of you need to mark this in your Bible. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. So if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have believed that God has given us his Son, his only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. And we were walking on a Friday after Thanksgiving. We took the kids to the aquarium in Tampa. What a great aquarium that is. If you haven't been there, you ought to go. And walking in, there was a couple ladies standing there, very modestly dressed, with their signs, and I pretty much knew right away what they were, and they were Jehovah false witnesses. That's who they were. And just as the woman began to speak to me, I got close enough to know that she was Latino. I said, solamente Cristo, solamente Cristo. She goes, yes, we believe in Jesus. And as I walked by, I said, but you do not believe he's the only begotten of the Father. Oh, but we believe in Jesus. I said, you believe Jesus and Satan are created beings and that they're brothers. And I walked on by. The Bible says you're not supposed to give them Godspeed. Oh, I know some of you may think you're smarter than God is on this, but as you go your way, understand what you believe and who you believe. Don't invite them into your house. If you're doing that, shame on you. Yeah, but I think we ought to show love to everybody. So your love is stronger than God's love. When God says don't give them Godspeed, don't give them Godspeed. Why? Because they're trained on how to debate you. They're trained. Their whole ministry, listen, is not to get unsaved people. Listen carefully to this. Their ministry is to find Christians who are ignorant. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, be not ignorant, brother, concerning spiritual gifts, concerning spiritual things. So if Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father, if he is the Son of God, and we have received him, we've received the Lord's Spirit, we ought to be careful about listening to the words of men when we have the Holy Spirit and the words of God. If we have a choice, should I believe what men say? Should I believe what God says? The Bible says the witness of the Holy Spirit is greater than the witness of men. And for those of you who are attuned into the Holy Spirit and who regularly say yes to him, you know that that's a strong feeling you have. When you hear something misquoted out of the Bible, or when you're hearing somebody teach or preach something that's not quite biblical, the Holy Spirit's telling you. Why? Because he affirms Jesus Christ. He affirms all that Jesus taught, all that Jesus did. And the witness of the Holy Spirit is strong in you who are following Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, if you have a close relationship to your mother and father, and you know what they would do in certain situations and what they would not, nobody else can come alongside you and say, hey, I saw your mom put on a ski mask and rob the SunTrust Bank. You'd say, you're not talking about my mom. Oh, yeah, look just like her, same hair, same, yeah, sure. No way. Because the witness of who your mom is greater than the witness of somebody else who you don't know. The truth of the matter is we take people's words for granted too easily. And we grieve the Holy Spirit because we have those and they've been tested from time. Forever, O Lord, is thy word preserved in heaven. is it settled in heaven. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction and instruction. But we take people's words for it. Take Jesus' word for it. In John 15, Jesus gives us this wonderful phrase, but when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from my Father, even the Spirit of truth, what will he do? He will testify of me. You know who the Holy Spirit witnesses of? Jesus Christ. You know what he does? When you're going through your Christian life, he says, yep, that's what Jesus would do. You ought to do that. Yeah, Jesus did that. You ought to be more like that. Yeah, Jesus felt this way. You ought to be more like that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He affirms in you and in your spirit the things that Jesus is and the things that Jesus did so that you can be conformed more so in the image of Christ. That's what God is doing. He's left us here on this earth after we got saved to learn to become more the image of Christ here. He affirms with us Christ. In verse 27, he goes on to say, and ye shall bear witness, for you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus said, you guys know what I say. You know what I believe. You know what I teach. You've been with me for 3.5 years. You know me. So if after I leave, somebody else says, well, Jesus taught this or Jesus taught that. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you that will witness on my behalf. That's what he does. He testifies of him. And then he goes on to say in chapter 16, verse 13, that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. Now hold it right there. I know you can go to YouTube, you can go on the internet, you can go to some area churches and find out that the Holy Spirit is their number one ministry, and it's all about how you feel about yourself as the Holy Spirit works in you. Be careful with that. It's not about salvation and getting saved. It's about how you feel. It's about these experiential gifts of the Spirit. Be very careful about that, because the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself. He testifies of Christ. Jesus said he will not speak of himself. He will guide you unto all truth, for he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So what does the Holy Spirit does? He takes who Jesus is and what he is and what Jesus taught, and he continually affirms in us what we ought to do, how we ought to walk. And in so doing, we follow the Holy Spirit. John 10:27, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Jesus knows who we are, if we're a sheep or if we're a goat, if we're a believer or an unbeliever. He said, now my sheep know it. How do they know that? How do we know it? The Bible says we follow him. How do we do that? Because we hear his voice. Did you know that shepherds in Israel knew all of their sheep by name? That they named them? Now, I'm thinking about this. I'm seeing a big flock of sheep over the hillside of Galilee, and I'm seeing in my mind's eye, you know, hundreds of sheep. Now, how in the world does a shepherd memorize all of those sheep's names? That's not so hard. They live with them 24/7. Did you know that's what the shepherd did? He stayed and he slept there with those sheep and he fed them, and he went to this side of the hill and the other side and to this area and this pasture, and he lived, and so he knew them by name. And they even say that shepherds have a special call for each sheep. And when one sheep goes a little stray, they give a certain type of call where that sheep knows that the shepherd is speaking to him specifically, and he says, oh, I better get back in the group. Does the Holy Spirit do that with us? Yes, he does. We are his sheep, and Jesus knows who we are, and we know whether we're a sheep or a goat, and we hear his voice, and we follow him. The Holy Spirit affirms us with Christ. Number two, the Holy Spirit affirms us to other believers. To other believers. Verse 21, now he which establisheth us or affirms us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. So what did he say? Now he which establishes us with you. Paul said, I'm established in Christ just like you are, but I'm not established in Christ just like you are to be a void of you, but to be with you. The Holy Spirit is a unifier. We've talked about this. Hey, have you ever felt this? You're in one of these, maybe you experienced this on Friday, a long line while you're trying to get that good deal, right? And you're shopping. And you're in that long line, and you make some conversation with the person in front of you or the person behind you. And before you know it, you find out that they are a believer. Do you feel an affirmation in your spirit at times? I do. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord says, you got a sister right here. You got a brother right here. Remember when Elijah was in the cave crying and running from that wicked Jezebel? And he said, I'm alone. I'm the only one living for you, God. God held back his laugh for a moment. Prophet of God, don't you know I have 7,000 other prophets at least like you, probably some a little smarter, not very far away. Isn't it wonderful to know that we're not alone on this earth? Not only do we have the Spirit and the Holy Spirit being our guide and our Savior and the right hand of God, but we have other believers. And yes, that's why the church is important. We're not members unto ourselves. We're members unto each other. Several members, the Bible says, members severally connected to the body. That's his choice. That's his way. That's God's way for us. We are affirmed with other believers. Are we our brother's keeper? We are to pray for one another, edify one another, build each other up in the most precious faith. That's what we are to do. Not to tear each other down, but to build each other up. We all could use an extra pat on the back. And the Holy Spirit introduces us. I can tell you, I've been surprised at times when I've run into brothers and sisters in all kinds of places. God has his army everywhere. You understand that? And the Holy Spirit affirms that. When Paul said, I call for a record upon my soul, he said, I call God as my witness, and I'll stake my life on it, that you and I are both believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit bears witness of that. We are brothers and sisters. What a wonderful thing. Now, he is speaking to the people who believe him, but he's not always spoken to them. In John chapter number 10, when he said, my sheep hear my voice, and they hear me, and they follow me, he was speaking to the Pharisees who didn't hear him, who didn't follow him. And if you'll read that chapter by verse 17, they're picking up stones to stone him. Is everybody a brother? Is everybody a sister in Christ? So don't swallow the world's philosophy that we're all the children of God. It sounds cute, and it's a kumbaya moment. And you can get all warm and fuzzy and see that God has the whole world in his hand. We're all his children. It's a lie of the devil. Then why is there a hell if we're all God's children? You're a God's child when you receive him by faith. But those who do not are condemned according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And we understand that we are affirmed with our brother and sister. Number three, the Holy Spirit affirms what is godly and what is not. And boy, we need to be more in tune with this. Only the Spirit knows and can reveal the deep things of God. So how do you know what to do and when to do it, Pastor? Well, it takes wisdom, and every man is supposed to be praying for wisdom. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. What a wonderful thing that God would not be stingy, and he wants you to have it. But how do you know what's right, what's not? How do you know what's godly and what's not? The Holy Spirit is there to affirm what is true. At salvation, the Holy Spirit is deposited into our spirit and is therefore our source of spirituality. Here's what Paul said about him, verse 20. For the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. So you know what the Holy Spirit is? He's the amen inside of you. In other words, when you hear a truth, the Holy Spirit says, amen, you know it's true. But if you hear something and you have some doubt and you don't hear that amen, you better be careful. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. But when you feel that and hear that and know that, that Holy Spirit is affirming the truth of God and God's word, that is a wonderful ministry. It gives you the okay to do it. Is God ever going to stamp his approval on sin? No. So the Holy Spirit will lead you away from that. But will he put his stamp of approval on feeding the homeless? Will he put his stamp of approval on being kind to people? Will he put his stamp of approval on forgiving other people and loving people? And yes, he will do that. And the Holy Spirit says, amen. He says, yay. He says, yes. That wonderful affirmation. Amen means so be it. When you read the Bible and you see in Psalms especially where it says, and all the people said amen, that means they said, so be it. That's what we want. We need more of that in the church. I remember Pastor Bob used to sit about where Tom is doing there, about there, and old Southern Bob would say, amen, amen, preacher, and he would just love to hear the things that he surrendered to preach under, the same truths, the same Holy Spirit. May we lift our voices and say amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're not going to make this a study, I just want to show you how that the Holy Spirit works and tells us what is good and what isn't, what is godly and what isn't. Listen to what Paul said. For the Spirit searches all things. Spirits can do that, right? They're not limited by geography, right? A spirit, right? He can move across the waters, everywhere, all at the same time. Okay, so the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us by God. Did you get that? So there's a choice. There's the world, okay, and then there's the Christian world. We live in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. They have their own teaching, their own philosophies. It doesn't include Jesus Christ being the only begotten of the Father. It includes Oprah Winfrey's religion. Anybody can be a god, and as long as you serve that one, then you're just as good, and you'll end up in a happy place. That's a lie of the devil. Did you hear me? I said that's a lie of the devil. Amen. That's a good time for you to say amen. God has his people. Satan has his people. Satan's people have a certain philosophy, a certain wisdom. God's people have the Holy Spirit. He teaches us. He leads us into truth. And the Bible says we need to become sensitive to God's Spirit. He says that we might know the things freely given unto us by God. I wonder if there's a lot of things offered to the Christian world that we're not experiencing because we're listening to the wrong spirits. Is it possible to listen to too much bad news too much? Is it possible to read the wrong things? Is it possible to pay attention to the things we really shouldn't pay attention to, and therefore we're missing paying attention to things we should? Yeah, the Holy Spirit affirms what is godly and what is not. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 2, he goes on to say, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Sometimes we don't pay attention to the godly things because it doesn't sound like what we're used to. Well, if what you're used to is what's on the news channel, no wonder. There's not a whole lot of godly speech going on, so therefore, you're almost expecting God to drop his holiness and come down and look like a newscaster. God cannot separate, will not separate his holiness. So when you hear something spiritual, it sounds different. Well, it should be different. But as you are attuned to the Holy Spirit, it becomes more normal to you, and you understand what is right. He goes on to say, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, those are the things that are wise, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Staying contextual, seeing what God is saying here. God's not speaking to the Thessalonians in 1 Corinthians. He's speaking to the Corinthian people. We understand that. All right. Okay, so the Holy Spirit affirms what is godly and what is not. Number four. We're getting through here, okay? The turkey has settled into some of you. I understand that. Your eyes are heavy, okay? Okay, don't do that, all right? Stay with me here. Number four. The Holy Spirit affirms our joy. He affirms our joy. Verse 24. Paul says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. You know, sometimes we only have as much as the person we follow has. Well, don't do that. Have you ever been let down by a family member? Have you ever been let down by a friend? We all have. Some of you have been let down by a pastor, let down by a preacher, let down by a Sunday school teacher, let down by somebody spiritual. And you found out that they no longer serve God. Well, did you know that your spirituality doesn't rest on them? If they decide to not be in the ministry, you can continue doing what God wants you to do. You can be faithful because the Holy Spirit lives in you. He affirms your joy, and that's what he wants to give you. So he says, we're here to help you, and we're here to help your joy. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It's a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is our paraclete. We've talked about that. That's a legal term, means he comes alongside of us and he mediates on our behalf. He holds us up, and when we don't know the things to say in the court of God's justice, he helps us. He is there for us. He speaks on our behalf. He represents us. What a wonderful attorney that the Holy Spirit is. But wait a minute, it's more than that. He also helps you to look at life introspectively. For instance, what's the difference between joy and happiness? Well, I know when I bought my first vehicle, I was telling my in-laws last week, I bought my first van, a 1990 Aerostar van, forest green. All right, so that's not your favorite color. But it was a nice van. It was our very first vehicle. Man, the steering was perfect. You could feel every single thing. Everything was, it smelled the upholstery. It smelled, I don't think it was leather, but it smelled, everything's perfect, right? Everything works wonderful, all right? And it makes you happy. How long does that last? Okay, happiness is temporal. It's only temporary, okay? Now, those of you who got saved eons ago, I wonder, anybody been saved more than 30 years? Quite a few, all right? Anybody been saved more than 40 years? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Anybody been saved more than 50 years? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm working on it. Anybody more than 60 years? I won't embarrass you. I'm stopping right there. Do you have the same joy after 60 years that you had the day that you were saved? That's eternal. Did you see what happened there? You can't own a car and not restore it anyways and have that same joy. But spiritual things you can. So the Holy Spirit comes in and he says, listen, that wonderful joy and peace that I gave you the day you got saved, man, if you'll keep following Christ, you'll keep feeling that. You'll have it. It'll never leave you. It'll be there for you when the car dies, when other people leave you. No matter what happens, nobody can separate you from the love of God. And he goes on to tell us what those things are. Tribulations, peril, health problems. Nothing can separate you from that love. And therefore, your joy can be like a river. It just keeps flowing and flowing. As long as you're not more interested in happiness than you are in joy. You see, we want to get the temporary fix, and that's just so temporary. We live based on happiness and not joy. But the Holy Spirit is there to affirm our joy. Joy is eternal. Happiness is temporal. The Holy Spirit affirms in our spirit what is eternal. The Holy Spirit says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think about these things, Philippians 4, 8, 9. We know that as we think about Jesus, our joy comes back. As we think about how that we have a home in heaven, our joy is there. We think about how God's forgiven us of our sins, past, present, and future. Woo! Our joy is there because it's eternal. All right. So the Holy Spirit affirms us with Christ to others. He affirms what's godly and what isn't. He affirms our joy. Lastly, quickly, he affirms our faith. And that's what we need. We need, every once in a while, a vitamin B12 faith shot. That's what we need. Yeah. After about 4 or 5 months of college, working all night at Dunkin' Donuts, I don't know why I signed up for 18 hours credit. I wasn't very smart then, and I'm not a whole lot beyond that now. But I went full speed ahead in this college thing, and before you know it, I fainted in the hallway because I hadn't eaten, hadn't slept enough, and I woke up in the hospital. After they figured out I wasn't dying, it wasn't my heart or wasn't whatever, they said, you know what, you need to get on some vitamins, and you need a vitamin B12 shot. And boy, they came with quite a needle, I remember. And they helped me. God bless my helpers. they helped my joy. Now, some things that we know and experience aren't always as peaceful and loving at the initial part of it. How often do you like to have to go to somebody and say, I want you to forgive me. I said something that wasn't true about you. But afterwards, oh, that releasing of joy that comes, right? How many of you felt wonderful about getting up and getting dressed and going to the house of God this morning? Do not answer that. Sometimes the initial act that's right to do is hard to do. Forgiving other people, reading the Bible when you're tired or when you're behind schedule, right? I mean, come on, let's be honest with each other. Not everything that's right to do, that's godly to do, is always the easiest thing to do at first. But what happens when you get into it? It's like a flood and the joy. And then now you don't want to leave. Now you don't want to stop. You want to keep doing it. And that's how the Holy Spirit comes in to substantiate your faith. We fall under our own weight. When we're leaning under our own understanding, we're weak. But the Bible says if we'll wait on the Lord, he'll renew our strength. We'll run and not grow weary. We'll walk and not faint. But we need to trust in the Lord. In Romans 8, he gives us some wonderful truth, and we shared part of this with you. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Tribulation, persecution, famine, being poor, peril, sword. Any of those things would stop you from coming to church? It would stop a lot of people from coming to church. A lot of people don't come to church today because life's hard, Pastor. Well, that's why I go to church. I need another vitamin B12 shot. I need it. I need my brothers and sisters. Okay, but in all these things, we are conquerors through Christ. So there the Holy Spirit's ministry. It goes right back in through Christ. The world wants to see the Holy Spirit come down like fire. The world wants to see the Holy Spirit do something experiential in somebody's life, and they'll speak in an unknown tongue. The world wants people to say, I have a prayer language, and you can't understand it, and it's just between me and God. Well, I have a problem with that. Doesn't God speak all languages? The world has a funny way of demonstrating the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the truth of the matter is, that's the world's wisdom. We're not supposed to be listening to that. We have the Holy Spirit, and he speaks the truth because Jesus is the truth. So he affirms our faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 gives us a lively hope in Christ. Verse 11 calls Jesus the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. We are kept by the power of God, Peter says, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice. And then he says, verse 8, rejoicing in joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Now, wait a minute. I'm not in heaven, but Peter says we might as well be. We have already received the end of our salvation, even though we're not there yet. Now, I know I'm not in heaven yet. Now, y'all are pretty and cute and wonderful, but you're not all angels. We know we're not in heaven, but how can Peter say we might as well be? Because our salvation is so secure that it will last all the way until we step into glory. How do you know that, Peter? Because I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, who witnesses on behalf of Christ. When Christ said it is finished, that was it. So what a wonderful hope we have today that we can rejoice in. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us is our down payment, our earnest money. Our salvation has been paid in full, and the Holy Spirit abides in us until our day of redemption, where we can cash in and get a new body for this old one and live with Christ forever. It's a beautiful song that says, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. You know the chorus. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Have you come to the conclusion that what Jesus has done for you is enough? Your faith needs to find a resting place there. You need to stop looking outside of the faith, outside of the truth. There's only one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. And you say, but it didn't work for me, Pastor. Well, you found the wrong one. There's only one Lord. Jesus is the one. There's only one faith, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And that anointing that the Holy Spirit offers you and me comes by way of salvation. When we become the children of God, He lives in us. We are now the temple of the living God. What a wonderful thing. Has that Holy Spirit witnessed that to you? If not, may today be the day when you either come to salvation by faith or have the assurance of your salvation. How does that happen, Pastor? As the Holy Spirit affirms what Jesus has done in your life. Would you bow your heads, please?